You can go ahead and sit down for this reading. We'll do it sort of like maybe when Jesus actually talked about this. And also, you are not allowed to look at your bulletin for this part. I'm just saying this because contextually, when Jesus preached this for the first time, you can look at your bulletin if you need to. But when Jesus preached this the first time, it's a bunch of people sitting around listening to what he said. And they didn't have, like we have, the exact, you know, text that someone wrote down, like you see on the news and, you know, when someone is typing in what everyone's saying. So not only do you hear what everyone's saying, but you see, they didn't have that back in the day. So if you choose to, go ahead and turn your bulletin down and just listen to what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. It's today, so if you have, you know, our cards here, I don't know if you saw that or not. So if you have questions about divorce, there's a number there for Pastor Beth. You just contact her, and she will answer all your questions. I'll talk about the easy stuff like adultery and murder. You can deal with divorce. February 11th, 1996, almost 20 years ago, it says right here, I mean, I'm looking at it, my first sermon, Eric Uto Galarno, San Carlos, California, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. And it's only 10 pages long. So it's probably 35, 40 minutes. So I could do that one just verbatim right there. But I'm not gonna. But it was, that was my first sermon. And, you know, when I was talking about divorce, my mother divorced when I was six. So I'm a child of divorce. So I understand divorce, at least from that perspective. And, of course, my mother's in the congregation that day. And it's my first sermon. And it was something, and I reviewed what I said, and you know, it probably still preaches today, I guess. But there is an interesting line in here that I found, and because I was, you know, looking around for stuff that I could find that would be helpful when it comes to divorce. And it was a line from the ELCA, the National Office. And I don't know if this I'll have to look it up, if this line is still available. The homepage of the ELCA is a statement, very visually pleasing, it said. A church so deeply and confidently rooted in the gospel of God's grace that we are free to give our lives joyfully in witness and service. And, you know, I've always liked grace, if you haven't figured that out, not because of our daughter, but that's a cool grace, but because of God's grace, that it does free us to give our lives joyfully and freely to witness and service. And we sang that song today. If you love me, truly love me, follow all the stuff that I told you. Well, some of this stuff is hard stuff. So, Sermon on the Mount. I had you sit down because that's the context for this sermon. Is right before that, Jesus is healing everybody. He's been starting with the good news. Everybody's excited to see him. They bring all kinds of people to be healed. So it's a big smelly mess. It's like a combination of an old folks home and a hospital and whatever else smells like humans that you maybe don't always want to be around. But that's the context. That's the context for Jesus and this sermon. Hundreds, thousands of people sitting around. And they didn't have the text. So when Jesus says, but I tell you, some people in the crowd are like, what'd he say? What'd he say about divorce? What'd he say? You know, not everybody got it the first time, if they heard it for the first time. You might not hear it. So they could have misheard something that was said. Or they could have heard what they wanted to hear. You know how that goes. You know, you're listening to someone you hear what you want to hear and not necessarily what they're saying. So there's all kinds of ways people could have heard this and interpreted it. But let's just go to the first two. So murder and adultery. Or, Jesus breaks it down even more, lust and anger. Now, I asked Pastor Beth if I should ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you... And I'm going to raise my hand because I have done these things. So, you know, but how many of you have been angry or have lusted? Raise your hand if you've been angry or lusted. I mean, if you haven't, boy, you missed out on stuff that is human. But that's the thing about anger and lust. You know, I was thinking about anger and why would Jesus even bring that word up, anger? Because murder is pretty awful. And, you know, I think of murder. We had a murder here in Lacey recently of some kids who in a drug deal and it went wrong and a murder happened and it relates to Timberline High School. I mean, that's local, that's real, you know, and nobody wants that. Who wants that? That's not reasonable. It's not normal, but it's real. And the same thing with adultery and lust and looking for things that you shouldn't be and moving in places that you shouldn't be. Lust is more than just sexuality. Lust is things that take you away from the good things of life, the relationality that you have with friends and family, and then you start going towards things that you shouldn't that wreck those things. That's what adultery is. But the other side of that, anger can also lead not only to hate, which leads to murder, but it can lead to passion, which leads to compassion. Because there's nothing wrong with being angry. That's how we're wired. Sometimes we just get angry. You can't stop that feeling. You get angry at something. Now, sometimes there's reasons that you're angry, and if you think it through, those reasons are dumb. I think we've all felt that. So, you can convert that anger then into passion, which can lead to compassion and sharing. I mean, and caring. And that's what Jesus was about, was compassion. And using the passion you have to change people's lives in love. That's what Jesus was about. So the same thing with talking about adultery and even the bottom line part of lust. Lust leads to yearning. But maybe if you think about yearning and yearning to create something different, because that's the other side of lust, is a yearning to creativity, trying creative ways to fix relationships. The Sermon on the Mount, All of what Jesus talks about is about relationships. How do we be with each other? I liked a couple of quotes here from as I was looking around to find some things that would be helpful to talk about through this, because these are things that you can take literally or take metaphorically, but they're deep. They're deep human things that Jesus was talking about. What is this kingdom that Jesus is talking about? This new realm? How are we to be differently with each other when we have God in our midst? What changes? So Dorothy Day has a quote here that I found. She's the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement. I know Dorothy Day from, her work from St. Leo's, which is a Catholic church in Tacoma. And they have a soup kitchen there that based on the Catholic worker model. Anybody can come and have soup. And the image, or what she says, is if each of us, this is her quote, if each of us could just remember that we are all created in the image of God, then we would naturally want to love more. If each of us could just remember that we are all created in the image of God, all of us, then we would naturally want to love more. In that soup kitchen, in my experience when I went there, I did an internship at the church and then eventually joined that church and became Catholic and eventually became Lutheran. Different story. But I experienced that in very real ways. People who came who nobody is going to love, but they still need to eat. And there are still people who are in the image of God. And they stink, and their lives are a mess, and they are offensive, but they still need to eat because they're children of God. And so when Jesus is talking about don't commit murder, he's saying anger is the base of that. Don't be angry. Think of children of God. We are all children of God. We are all children of God. Murder won't happen if we think of everybody as children of God. War won't happen if we think this way. Maybe you think that's pie in the sky. Well, we've always had wars. We've always had poor people. Even Jesus said that. The poor will always be with you. Well, that may be. But we're not supposed to be angry with them. What are we supposed to do with our neighbor? What did Jesus say? Love, right? Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we could do that, there'd be less anger. There'd be less lust. If we could do that together, there would be less of that. No anger, no lust, but compassion and caring and love. If each of us could just remember that we are all created in the image of God, we'd want to love more. Now here's the second quote, because sometimes that's hard to do. You may be in a relationship where, or have seen someone, or know somebody who's in a relationship that just didn't work out because who they were changed because of this, that, or the other thing. Drinking, money, another person. Broken relationships. All of us, if we haven't experienced it, will, or know somebody at least. That's real. Jesus knew that. But Jesus gives us this image of the kingdom. And we have this image right here. And we celebrate this image every time we gather. Every time we gather together, we celebrate this image. We have this bread and this wine. It's just, you know, bread you give, bread you make out of, I don't know what the recipe is. How many ingredients are there? Four? Six? I mean, molasses, some flour, I don't know. Simple things. And then the wine or the grape juice, anybody can get it from Safeway. It's all nothing special. But there's this guy, A.T. Robinson, and this is what he says about Holy Communion. It's simply making holy that which is common. Making holy that which is common. So when we have communion, when we have Eucharist, Holy Supper, all the different names for it, we're simply making holy. We're not. God is making holy that which is common. That's another way of talking about how to help us think about each other and each other as images of God. Because when we come to this meal, we come to the table. And Beth and I say, all are welcome. Why? Because you were made in the image of God. And all are welcome, even if you've been angry. And all are welcome, even if you've committed murder. And all are welcome, even if you've lusted. And all are welcome, even if adultery, divorce, all the hard things in life that you've experienced, all the human things, all are welcome because you're in the image of God, a child of God. So when we come around this table and we experience common things in a holy way, that's what Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God is. When we know that and live that and experience that together today, I hope it changes you. When you come to this meal, it's common stuff, but we're in a holy place and in a holy moment. And Jesus is here reminding us again, we are all children of God. Love each other. It's that simple. Why? Because we're all in the image of God. So, come to this meal today and know that you are a child of God, regardless of who you are, so that we can live out this ELCA statement, a church so deeply and confidently rooted in the gospel of God's grace that we are free, free to give our lives joyfully in witness and service. That's the bottom line for the ELCA, and that is the bottom line for Jesus. It's about love. Amen.